Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I am Brian.
I am Tyler.
I am Drew.
I am Lona.
And I let Lona talk this week.
Yes.
Thank you.
We're making great strides in the area of women's rights.
Soon I'll be able to vote.
Let's not get ahead of yourself.
Yeah.
Women's rights. So we got to start worrying about men's rights.
Yeah. I have a nephew who follows a Facebook page called The Meninist, which is a reverse feminist website. And so
So it's just the regular world?
It's just a regular website. And so it gave me something to block on Facebook. It feels bad when I've blocked so many things that I can't block anything else. So it was nice to see that pop up and me go, you know what? I'm just not going to do that.
Hey, let's also not just about men's right, but what about us as white people? Come on now.
Right. Exactly.
When do we get a white person's history month?
Yeah, exactly.
Right people?
Yes.
For everyone listening, Stacey Dash will be joining us later to discuss why there should be no more Black History Month. And, you know, that's where she's still attractive.
Isn't it our
is she?
History?
Yeah. She's just crazy.
Doesn't the crazy just overload any
attractiveness? I mean, no. I mean, she's still attractive, but she's crazy. She doesn't have the look.
Oh yeah,
she doesn't
truth
have the.
Told,
go ahead.
No, sorry, I was going to move on to something else. So keep talking about.
No,
her.
she doesn't have the crazy look. She just has the crazy talk. So she doesn't have like the.
Speaking the of the eyes. Look, a song by Roxette, who also has a song in this movie that we're talking about.
Oh, we were having a good natural conversation, and then you had to go. You're like no, Clarice.
I have all sorts of digressions.
Are there any other things you would like to talk about?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was thinking today, what songs do you guys listen to and put your own lyrics in? Not misheard lyric songs, but songs that you listen to and just every time you hear it, you say the same wrong lyric you've made up in your mind just to annoy the people around you.
None.
Nothing, really?
No.
Mm-mm. Really? So yeah. For mine, it's Nelly Imbruglia's Torn. It was playing at work today, and I was giggling to myself because I always say instead of nothing's fine, I'm torn, I always go, my vagina's torn.
Okay. All right.
That seems like something you'd do.
Yeah. That's okay. Ooh. I think that's fair. Usually, I don't remember them.
But is that applicable to you even?
No, but I mean, it's funny to me.
Of course. Right.
So you just like to laugh at the idea of a woman torn. Being terribly hurt.
I like to laugh at the idea of a woman who's made a whole song about the discomfort of her first sexual experience.
Because I'm sure the man was fine with it.
Yeah,
probably.
I mean, he just rolled over and, you know.
Meninist or whatever that website is.
Ate a Swiss cake
guess
roll
what?
And went to sleep.
Brian is in charge of that website you blocked.
I think so. The weird thing is that anyone who knows Brian knows that his misogyny is ironic, but...
That's a great band name, though. Ironic Misogyny.
Misogyny is ironic. But if you stack all of the things Brian has said on the podcast together.
Plus the fact that he tells me to never make eye contact with him when we're over here.
Right.
Well, he just didn't want to react. You know,
he doesn't react to eye contact. If I look at him, he slaps me.
I feel like you're stealing my soul when you do that, and you know, I don't like it.
Right.
Well, in order for me to steal a soul, you'd have to have one.
Boom.
That's true.
I think.
How would you know, woman?
Right.
I don't know if you're gonna go with witch or woman.
I think it's funny. Like it's one of those things where given enough of laying on thick the irony, at a certain point, I think the line gets erased. Like I think the like fake misogyny and fake irony at a certain point it then just becomes misogyny.
Yeah. Then I just become Donald Trump.
Right. Like at a certain point, it's like you just stop saying the joke. Like it's just. You say the thing, and it's not like you mean it, but you say it as not a joke.
I can answer your question now. I do that sometimes with Blue Oyster Cult's Astronomy with the word misogyny. I have done that,
misogyny.
Yes. Yeah. I've done that.
For
yeah.
me, it's always contextual. It's usually like I have to go to the bathroom really bad, so I have to think of... So whatever song's playing, I then change the lyrics, but I don't remember them afterward. It's just because the moment is such an extreme emergency that I'm just trying to keep my mind off shitting my pants. So
you should just sing Emergency all the time.
Yeah.
Urgent by Foreigner.
Yeah, I think
urgent.
That works.
Just wait and see how urgent my shit can be. It's okay. Urgent. I also do it to the phrase "How to Save a Life," but I've retooled that to fit the Britax car seat to say, "Car seats that hold your child in tight. Britax knows how to save a life."
Okay.
And you should sell that to them.
I tried. They just ignored
it. Not really yours.
Yeah, you would reap none of the benefit. But...
They'd be like, thanks, and then just go with it.
Yeah, like, oh, that is a good idea. I guess we'll just take
contact
that idea.
I also contacted Tums once and asked him how come they never contacted Kip Winger for Headed for a Heartburn to use that song for their product.
I think that it's the reason is embedded in the first phrase of that sentence.
I contacted them on Twitter?
No.
Kip Winger?
Yeah. I wonder why they never contacted Kip Winger. I don't think anybody could actually, that reminds me, could we actually get an ETA on whether or not Kip Winger is still alive? Somebody needs to go buy his apartment.
He died in a train accident.
Here's an ETA for you. He's playing the night after Drew and I go see Coheed and Cambria, and the only reason I'm not going to see him is because I'm seeing Coheed and Cambria.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. I would go because Winger 2 is a great album.
Yes. Miles Away? Fucking.
Mm-hmm. Rainbow in the Rose?
Yes.
Really?
It's something. What's
not
ironic.
Like,
the children
no,
of the.
I'm not
no,
even, I'm not
the
even
young.
Being ironic.
Not this ironically.
Like, no, I'm not being. I'm not either. It's good. Yeah,
what is
like
good
it.
About it? Like. Everything. Sell me on it. Okay. All right.
It's,
fair.
Yeah,
that's
it's
a
good.
That's an argument.
World's shortest persuasive speech.
Yes. It's. I like it. It's. That's why it's good.
Winger 2 was given to me by a girlfriend in high school, and when I lived in Tennessee, I was going back to Virginia for Christmas every year, and at that time, Miles Away meant a lot to me.
Okay.
You know.
So it's not so much that it's good; it's that it has
sentimental.
But Drew's just getting to it. Right?
No, I had that single too, that Miles Away, and has Rainbow in the Rose, which is a fantastic, epic hair metal song for that time. Its problem is when it came out. It came out in that grunge destroying hair metal period. But if it had come out earlier than that, it's so much better than most of the stuff produced by like Warrant or the other hair metal bands that we might know better. It just came out so late. It's really good. It's much better. Their first album is okay too, except it has that awful
only 17.
Do you
that
know, do
awful
you...
Purple Haze cover. That might be the most ill-advised cover ever.
I have
oh,
a question.
It's
like,
bad.
How weird is it that Warrant released a single called Uncle Tom's Cabin that was about Uncle Tom's Cabin? How fucking weird is that, that the band Warrant that did Cherry Pie released a song called Uncle Tom's Cabin?
Story behind that, right?
There has to be. There has to be a story behind it, but I think that story is called Cocaine.
No, that story was called, the name of the album was Uncle Tom's Cabin.
Right.
But they went to their record company. They were like, we need something catchy. They made them go in there and record, like let's get a fun song. You know,
That's Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking, though, isn't it? That's the album.
No, it's off of Cherry Pie.
Cherry Pie is off of Dirty, Rotten, Filthy, Stinking.
No, Cherry Pie is its own album.
I believe you.
Dirty Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich has Heaven and Down Boys and stuff like that. Cherry Pie had Uncle Tom's Cabin. Cherry Pie, I Saw Red.
What's Sometimes She Cries off of?
That's off of Dirty Rotten, Filthy, Dirty Rotten, Filthy, Stinking Rich.
Gotcha.
Now that we have
Sometimes She Cries. So Winger 2 in the Heart of the Young has a Can't Get Enough, Miles Away, Easy Come, Easy Go, and Drew's favorite, Rainbow in the Rose.
It's good.
But it was a good sophomore album.
Now that we've pared down our audience to the exact number of fans
of Winger.
Yeah, like I think we have whittled it down to Winger fans and us as far as audience.
How many other podcasts are people listening to right now that are having arguments in favor of Winger?
And, logical ones?
Not,
I don't know.
And they're not communities, Jeff Winger.
I don't think anybody.
I'm gonna go see him after the Coheed concert. It's at Eddie's Attic too, so it's an all acoustic Winger show.
I would probably rather go see Warrant, but
we can't. Jane Lane's dead.
Is he?
Yes.
Is he?
Yes.
He was on the Celebrity Show. He's not dead.
He is dead. Look it up.
Okay. I think you're lying. He was on the show where The
like 15 years ago?
No. Yeah. And he was on the show where the you know, has-beens or never-was-es drank too much.
15 years ago. Like, last week we lost four big rock
stars. Sober House.
Not because they weren't on reality TV shows. Everyone knows if you're on a reality show, you live at least 23 more years.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Except for Jenny Lane, who is dead.
Okay. Whatever.
Here you go, Kinnicky died, too.
Kip Winger described...
he died in 2011.
Jenny Lane?
That's crazy.
Yes.
I don't believe you.
As the hairband version of Dream Theater.
That was what Winger was called?
That's what Kip Winger described them as.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, also...
That has been our hair metal minute. Let's move on to the ostensible reason for the podcast this week, though not necessarily the actual reality of this week's podcast, which is the Netflix... movie curve? Is it? What is it?
Yeah, it's just. I mean, it was. It's on VOD as well. That's where they released it.
I'm questioning. Is it a movie?
It is. It's
okay.
A movie.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was put on some kind of DCP and delivered to someone to make copies of.
Okay.
There are less movies on Netflix than this movie.
Yeah, there definitely are. There are definitely movies that are less film. Like this one. This is more. This has more movie than some other things that are on Netflix. That is the box art quote that I will give for this. This is more movie than some movies.
I would say if the guy in if the antagonist in this film, quote unquote, movie had not gone the route of mentioning his throbbing cock. This could have been a Lifetime movie.
Maybe.
Fair. We are one throbbing cock away from a Lifetime movie.
Always.
Yeah. We're always one throbbing
this
cock
seems
away
like,
from him.
You know, like I could have seen this like Julian Huff in
right.
Curve.
That sounds like her brother, Julian Huff. That sounds like her.
She has a brother, Ryan Derek. Huff. Derek Huff. Derek. Yeah.
How do you know who...
He dances with the stars.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like she did.
She was on Dancing with the Stars?
Uh-huh.
I thought she was just like in the Footloose remake and that was...
No, she also dated Ryan Seacrest. That was really like the best thing she's done so far.
Kind of started with that though, yeah.
Dating Ryan Seacrest?
No, Dancing with the Stars.
Huh.
Also, she's Mormon. That's why she's that's why she's got such a positive outlook.
Also, this film shot in Salt Lake City.
Was it?
Yeah.
The other thing that I know, Julian, is it Julian or Jillian?
I think it's Julianne.
The other thing I know about her is that she went out Halloween one year in blackface as Crazy Eyes from Orange is the New Black. So
that's Crazy Eyes, yeah.
Yeah, that was the other claim to fame is a... She is less self-aware than I am, which is saying something.
How in this?
Well, that's how she ended up
in blackface.
Well, in her situation in this movie.
That's true.
All right, so I would
trust her to get into this situation then. If this was real life and she went out on Halloween in blackface, not understanding what would have been wrong about that.
Now she kind of deserves it, right?
Yeah, it's like, well, this was what you get. Yeah.
Well, my question is what. What prompted the decision to do like this film in particular? I wonder. Like, I wonder if she's just like friends with whoever produced it, because it's not her forte. It's not her strength. Like, her strength is dancing. Like, I could see her
she's
being
really
in, like,
tired of dancing, and she's like, I just want a project where I can just like sit for a while.
And that's really what this movie is.
She's because like, can I not move this whole time? Well, yeah. Can you guys just feed food to me through a window and maybe like.
Paradoxically, this movie is not an easy shoot. Like, this is not an easy shoot. This is not an easy movie to do. Like, she's upside down for most of it in a fucking truck. Like, it's not even a horror movie where she gets to, like, run around and scream and look good. It's a movie where she is immobile. She's being sexually assaulted, or at least threatened to be sexually assaulted.
Yeah, never actually happened. Yeah.
What you just from how you just described Julianne Huff to me, it sounds like she spends a lot of time on her back up top.
No.
Why?
I don't know.
You know, like people in blackface, like they do, they get laid a lot because people find that such an attractive trait.
Well, the director of this is the director of K-Pax, Hackers, and Backbeat, as well as Skeleton Key.
Yeah.
I think it's a better movie than I can pronounce it. it's That
it's
movie's
even more
underrated
movie than this movie.
It's more movie. Like I rewatched it recently. I actually do not dislike that movie. I think
we had a conversation about it on the a couple podcasts ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad movie. This one, however, felt
bad.
Yeah, I can't think of. I can't
anything
think,
good.
Yeah, like I can't. I can't think of anything positive to say about this movie.
Is Julianne Hough on Twitter? Because I think I just figured out the best tweet for this when it comes out Friday.
Okay.
If you thought her blackface was bad, you should see Curve.
Ooh, that's actually not bad. I don't want to heap...
No, here's a nice thing. Compared to the past few movies we've watched where people were just walking the whole time, it was a change of pace. There's very little walking in this movie. That's good.
Is it?
Except she was able to walk all of a sudden after, you know, whatever horrifying injury she had. And
yeah, I don't think her leg was actually injured. It was just stuck. But think about how numb that shit would have had to be.
That's what I was thinking.
There should have been like 45 minutes of just the real horror would have been the pins and needles stitch that would have come from finally being released.
And how was he not injured at all after being thrown from the vehicle?
Because
so this is really a movie against
lives.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a movie against big seatbelt.
Yeah.
Big seatbelt.
let's take a step back and talk about the beginning. Like I want to talk about just the setup for the movie. So Julianne
Hough wrote a song called All I Want to Do Is Make Love to You. And this movie is basically the prequel to that song.
So
it is just without Big Cock.
Which part? The All I Want to Do Having a Big Cock or this movie having the throbbing cock?
The throbbing cock in this movie.
The movie. Oh, okay. I don't remember that lyric. In,
yeah,
in,
All I Want to Do.
It's the lost fourth verse.
Okay.
In the video, you don't hear it because the thunder.
Oh, we just think thunder rolls.
Oh, God.
So this movie is about, I mean, Julianne Hough is on a, she's kind of on a, she's on a road trip to Denver. She's halfway between, do we ever establish like exactly where she is? Because I saw at the beginning there was a road sign that gave a mileage that was like halfway between Los Angeles and Denver. So somewhere in the Midwest, I guess Salt Lake City, since you said that's where it was filmed.
Well, the sheriff's, when he stole the police officer's shirt, it said Salt Lake City Police.
Okay.
Something about Salt Lake City.
By the way, their police department does not have a budget for cars.
Not really.
But yeah, so she's on a road trip on the way to Denver to meet her fiance, and then the hitcher happens. And I mean, that's really it. The movie is no more complex than a psychopath gets in the car with her and they crash, and he verbally assaults her and tries to physically and sexually assault her for the rest of the or does he even try to assault her?
Taunts her.
Yeah, he just taunts her. Like
I didn't think he existed for most of the movie because of that.
Right.
Like because he never interacts with her. I thought it was literally gonna turn into one of those things where he's like
her mind. The stress of wedding
or something.
Bridezilla.
This is a movie where I would almost have accepted that as an alternative to what it actually was.
Yeah.
Because what it was, what this movie is, literally is a woman. It's 127 hoursing with the stars. Like that's.
It's a more boring version and felt longer than the book Gerald's Game.
It's even like, it feels like 127 hours to me. I haven't read Gerald's Game, so I can't say. Damn it.
Oh, man.
I know.
It's been a long time since I read it, but I remember liking it.
It's a very... Because I wondered the same time. Like, when I picked it up...
Not a lot happens, though, yeah.
Yeah, I was like, how are they going to fucking write a book about someone just sitting in bed the whole time?
Well, I mean, it is Stephen King. I mean...
Yes, and he did a good job.
He had a creepy guy show up a lot at night.
Face, yeah.
But I can't imagine... Like, I can't imagine in the script being able to pull it off unless you have a really strong actress, a really talented actress. And Julianne Hough, I mean, this is not sort of her strong suit. She has her voice doesn't work for this role. The screaming doesn't work. It doesn't seem like she was given a lot of direction as far as what she should do with her lines.
Just say fucking shit a lot to express.
Just say fuck.
And, I think what I always take as a mark of not good acting is when someone's frustrated and their hands go immediately to their hair.
Right.
They run the fingers to the hair. I'm like, that to me signals no one gave you, like, yeah, you've never been taught how to, like, express emotion. It's the what do I do with my hands thing.
Well, she's got a dancer's background.
Do they grab
their
hair?
They do things more
It's what she should do with her feet then.
She runs her feet through her hair normally, but they were trapped.
It was basically the opposite of her other movie, Footloose.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It was.
Maybe that was the reason she chose this. Like, I want to show some range. If people say I can only work with my feet, well, fuck it. I'm not going to have them in this movie.
I don't need my left foot. You're like Daniel Day-Lewis, Julianne.
Yeah. I just
your left foot.
I don't understand sort of why she's in this movie, except that, like, that's the best star they could get for it. Yeah.
She's like, pretty. I mean, that's the thing.
When she was when they first showed the dude walk up to the car, her car breaks down, of course it does. I thought my first reaction was like, oh, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, the two best looking people ever just happened to.
No, they're not the two best
looking. Well, in that moment, they were.
They're pretty good looking. Like, I think the dude I kept thinking was the blonde guy.
Aaron Eckhart.
No, I kept thinking the blonde guy was the
Morgan Stern.
No, the guy from True Blood. The.
Oh right.
But.
I think Tony Goldwyn is what I was thinking.
Who is
Tony Goldwyn?
Who is
the
that?
The bad guy from Ghost. Yeah.
Okay, I think that's fair. Like, yeah, if you mix the him,
all of everyone who we said,
right, or Nicholas Coster-Waldau or whatever his name is,
Kingslayer.
Yeah, Kingslayer.
This guy's in Masters of Sex. He's a very television actor, is what he is. Mm-hmm. He looks like, how has he never been in Shondaland or whatever?
He's been in like a toilet, like paper commercial.
I keep
wondering. He's like that sort of guy.
Hey, speaking of commercials, did you guys see the video that was released of Vin Diesel selling sewer sharks back from 1994?
No.
I should look it up.
I'll have to check that out.
No, he, of course, in a black leather vest.
As far as the actors in this movie, and there aren't many of them. There are only four or five total. I mean, he's not.
I would say there aren't any actors in this movie.
As far as the actors in it, I don't think he does a bad job with what he has. I just don't think there's much there for him to work with. I think that's kind of the problem for both of them, is that I don't think Julianne Hough is particularly a good actress, but I don't think either one of them was given very much to work with. I thought, like, when the movie was originally sort of, or when I saw what it was about, I thought it would be more of a kind of cat and mouse, like she's running from him kind of thing. I didn't imagine that she would literally spend, she's not someone who can carry 35, 40 minutes of a movie trapped in a car with nothing to do. Like, it was so mundane and dry. Like, that's the thing that keeps coming back to me, is that it's just such a mundane film. And if you take out all of the vulgarity, like, there's nothing here. There's no sense of tension. There's no sense of, like, she's in actual danger. There's just...
Also, she's like a baby about everything. Like, there she is, trapped. She's a big baby about trying to eat the rat. She's a big baby about thinking about having to drink her pee. Like, it just... Ooh. She pissed me off the whole time. Like, I was like, I kind of want you to die because you're kind of a bitch.
God, she wouldn't cut her own leg off. What a baby.
Well, I mean, like, that I can kind of understand, because that just, like, what do you do?
I kept thinking,
for
she
shoes?
Was like, how do you, why don't you start sawing at the seat that your foot is caught in? Like, cut away the fabric and at least see what's going on up there.
Right.
There was a moment where I was like, is there not like a little lever somewhere?
I mean, you're
to, like,
operating
just
the
check.
You're operating the radio and the horn and, you know, windshield wipers.
I just thought he was so boring whenever he showed up too. Yeah. It's like he wasn't even really torturing her. It's like he'd just show up. It's like
he was just checking.
Leaving, he was just leaving her alone from a distance. Like, oh, you're still there. All right.
That's the other thing about it that really bothered me, is that Once he sat down and started asking her questions about her first time and all this other stuff, I thought, like, well, okay, so it becomes kind of like, this is ostensibly teaching Mrs. Tingle, but in a car at the bottom of a canyon.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I can, like, if that's the twist, like, okay, I can dig that. Like, if it's about her, like, if her arc is about, I guess, realizing she's marrying the wrong guy or something, but
this guy that she's really in love with,
she doesn't have to be engaged. Like, none of that matters to this movie at all. Like, the fact that she's engaged doesn't matter at all. And she just kind of listens and talks, and they immediately abandon every idea that they start. They're like, well, I'm going to torture her. Okay, I'm not going to do that. Well, I'm going to then talk I'm going to use this filth and discuss sexual things with her. Well, then I guess we're going to let go of that too. Like, I'm not going to, it doesn't heighten, like none of that ever, the tension is never ramped up at all in the movie.
He's made out like he's almost like this Hannibal Lecter character where he's just, you know, he knows like you're lying about your sexual experience. That was your sister. Like, well, has she even mentioned her sister at that point?
Right.
And how surprised and excited she was at every song on the mix CD.
Right.
Like, oh, Roxette.
I think that is where she mentioned the sister that was on the about the CD.
I kept waiting for him to do the dentist from Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Like, it's the implication. That's what
the Roxette song was the one.
Hurt these women? No, it's the implication.
I said that I didn't have anything positive to say about this movie, but the strategic use of a Roxette song has to be the high point of this movie.
I did like that too. Yeah.
I mean, K-Pax was kind of a boring movie. Skeleton Key was kind of boring. I liked it, but it was kind of boring.
I remember Backbeat. I remember it being positive, and I don't remember hating Hackers, but I could never watch it again now.
I don't think it ages well.
It's got to be the most dated movie ever.
These are movies that it's fine to like fold laundry to.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
These are good Sunday morning chore movies.
I watched it while unpacking stuff from Amazon today. I was like, at the end of it at least, I was like, huh, I'm not missing anything.
Yeah, I watched it while cooking, and I definitely didn't miss anything. Like, it's just, it was a good movie for that because I didn't really have to pay attention. It's just Julianne Hough stuck in a car.
I think we know what the word for that is.
What is?
Curb?
No, when something is just completely fine and acceptable.
Oh God
damn it, shut up.
But this movie isn't that.
This movie is not cromulent.
Yeah. Actually, that's cromulent. That's an insult to that word.
Yeah. I think, I mean,
what y'all were saying about this, those movies you mentioned were okay to do things too. This one wasn't. You shouldn't actually put this on to do anything too.
Punish your children.
Yeah, maybe.
Sit here and watch this. And then you have to answer questions about, you know, getting banged the first time.
Do you think this was ever up for even a limited release? Do you think that's why these were just kind of this? Okay, so the reason, I guess we could get into why we watched it. The reason we picked it up for the podcast is that this and two other movies were sort of just dropped onto Netflix in the same day
from Blumhouse.
Yeah.
It's the Blumhouse Tilt imprint, right?
Yeah.
It's the PH Tilt. Yeah.
And so I think that's why we chose it. And I like the films that company produces generally. Like, I have an okay relationship with Blumhouse, and so I thought that it would be fine, but it's just like, I wonder what the scope of this was meant to be. I wondered if this was like, was this just produced to be fair for Netflix? I don't think so.
I think it was like all those others, you know, he puts a small amount of money on a movie, and these are the ones that when they got the final product, like, yeah, these aren't very good, but let's just release them because we can still make some money off them. I mean, this proved to me why the big thing I'd mentioned about The Forest was, man, how did The Forest make it to theaters? Because, I mean, it just seems about, you know, so bland. It seemed like it was just like all these other movies. The Forest is light years better than this. Yeah. Like, seeing how, like, that makes it to theaters versus this is easy to understand. Like, it made that movie. I was like, I wish I could watch it again while watching Curve.
Yeah. I'm usually the person who like defends the movie. Like, no, like I was the one defending The Forest, and I defended like a few movies back where nobody liked me. I have nothing in defense of this movie. It's the kind of movie that makes me angry. And it's the one where like, we're so sort of subjective on this podcast and relative, like, oh, well, it's fine for this or that. Like, this is a movie where I can say, like, this makes me angry. Like, that, if not this movie, then what kind of movie can we get mad about? Do you know what I mean?
If not this, then what?
It just made me even more indifferent.
Yeah.
I was like, it was just even more, it's like, yep, this is bad. This is about as uninteresting as I can be in a movie.
Yeah, it's worse when I just am so lethargic about, not lethargic, but like indifferent, apathetic about a film. Like, and this one is just, as I watched it, what made me mad was how apathetic I was. Like, I just can't believe how boring.
Well, that sounds like a you problem.
this.
It's a curve problem.
Yeah, I think it's a curve problem.
And I would say I'd want to say
trouble with the curve.
Damn it, fuck you, Drew. I was building up to that.
The treble with the curve is my four-piece quartet that I'm going to be starting.
Is it?
Yeah, nice. Barbershop quartet. The treble with the curve.
Can we do Natalie Imbruglia's Torn and let me sing my famous line?
No.
My vagina's torn.
God damn it. Maybe you should just...
It's actually, the whole song could be about like sex and the dangers of unprotected sex. Like, my vagina's torn. I'm a little late. It'll be fine. Just sometimes it comes at awkward times.
Can I say that I actually cringed when you said that? I'm sorry, I cursed while you were drinking. That wasn't a delayed response. You're drinking. What is that? Vanilla Coke or is it just regular Coke? Oh, it looked like Coca-Cola. What is that? Tecate.
Tecate.
What is that?
That's like a beer.
I know. I'm just kidding. I've been sober long enough that I can pretend to not know what beer is. Yeah, this movie almost stumbles into an interesting direction. If it had gone. I mean, everything about it is paint by numbers, except for, like, I think at the end.
It's completely out of sorts, too. The whole end and his
totally,
like, terror.
Who gives a shit? Like, you know, I didn't give a shit about any of those characters, but I think if she had gotten out of the car earlier and the last half to, like, quarter of the movie, maybe the last third of the movie, if she was stalking him through this house, like, and saving these people, like, that's an interesting twist. Like, that's an interesting take on this kind of film. But this was just such an afterthought. She gets out and then she goes and saves these people that we don't really care about. We have no relationship with whatsoever. And then they disappear and she just, it's just so thoughtless and brainless and dickless. Like,
bear traps.
And then a random,
like you do.
Yeah.
How would she know he would fall or get right onto that bear trap?
She didn't, but.
She just thought, you know, throwing him off of a second floor might hurt him.
I mean, obviously, falling, you know, flying through a glass window down a mountainside was not enough to hurt him, or stabbing him in the stomach.
But wasn't it kind of odd how he, like, this family in the house, he was being so sort of sadistic to them, but he was not at all messing with her, really?
Yeah.
Maybe he was building up to it.
Like, she's dessert.
But yeah, like, we're watching the wrong fucking movie. Like, the movie to watch is what's happening in the house. Like, that's the fucking movie. The movie is
the curve, man.
Maybe that's one of the other ones that they just released.
maybe. That would be interesting. Like, I mean,
the house beyond the curve.
This is, I like that. That's not a bad title for a movie. Like, this is a film, though, like, we're watching the wrong part of it. Like, we have the wrong protagonist. Like, the protagonist should be someone in the house. Like, how weird would it be to have a movie where, I don't know, like, this family is... I mean, we've watched Kidnapped. Like, that was a serviceable movie. And, like, it was cromulent. But you have this movie where this family is caught and tortured, and then this random girl shows up to save her, and you find that, like, she has been trapped by the guy down, like, I don't know who gives a shit how you get the exposition, but, like, that's a more interesting movie than this.
Let's start a production company where all we make are movies that take place at the same time as more popular movies. So, like, something that's going, like, you always are like, what's going on in this house while all this is happening?
Okay.
Or, you know, like, we're getting the perspective of the people in the house who are just being, you know, tied up Texas Chainsaw Massacre style and being tortured.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say we get the boring parts of most of these good movies then, because we're watching what's going on in town during Friday the 13th. We're hanging out at the diner.
The house next to the Strodes in Halloween. Like, do you hear that?
The hotel room next to Paul Walker's Joyride.
We see from Candy Kane's perspective. He's like,
I actually think in Halloween, a film from the perspective of the neighbors would not be a bad movie. Like, especially if you make it just kind of a humdrum drama that then escalates into this weird fucking situation at the end. It's like, it's kind of like
But wasn't Halloween 6 from the neighbors of you? Kind of.
Not, no.
He's across the street.
Yeah.
Well, no,
I guess
I'm talking about the neighbors, like, watching Michael setting up his whole, like,
what, like, they're just benignly watching.
Yeah. What is this guy doing?
Yes, I think that's an interesting movie. Like, I've always enjoyed, like, that kind of, like, weird by proxy, like, normal people caught in a situation where they're sort of on the outer edge of what's going on. Like, Halloween 6, I mean, he's in like intimately involved in what's going on with that, because he was involved the first time around. Like, if you just have this family who's like, they're just having a regular Halloween and they just happen to see all of this shit, like, they're not being like, it wouldn't be a horror movie, it would just be a really fucked up drama.
Like, something is going on with the neighbors.
Yeah, like, what is going
on? All of the movies.
People next to Nightmare on Elm Street, like, what is going on over there?
Is that Nancy?
It's the guy who says, I've been trick-or-treated to death in two. And so that's kind of where you could get to the end. Yes. He finally comes out.
Yeah.
Like, what's going on? I've been hearing stuff all night.
That's his big moment.
Shut that baby up.
I think it would, it would definitely be like a mumblecore movie and just... Like, it would just be kind of like, well, I don't know, we're, you know, get high and watch The Thing from Another World? Sure. Like, it's a couple in their 50s, they have empty nest syndrome, their kid's away at college. You know, every once in a while they peek outdoors and just watch the kids go by. They're giving stuff to trick-or-treaters, but they just, in the like, periphery, we see, like, all this weird shit happening, and they kind of notice, we're like, whatever, we're kind of high, who cares?
The neighbors are out there watering their lawn as they see Nancy's mom sucked back through the window in Nightmare on the Street. Like, well...
Isn't the point of Halloween 2 that there are no adults left because they're all at the stupid country club party or something?
Oh, yeah. But there's obviously some, like... At the end of the first Halloween, you have Laurie Strode run up to the neighbor's house, throw the shit at the window, and like she's like, please let me, and they turn the light on and then fucking ignore her. Like, that's the family you focus on, and then they're, you fast forward and deal with their guilt of over letting Laurie almost get murdered by Michael Myers. Like, that's an or you just start that movie the day after and have it go through like a day in the life of these people who wouldn't open their door.
And you realize it's,
I think that's an interesting movie.
I pretty much have to end with like early Friday the 13th, where by the end of it, Michael comes back to kill them because he's angry at them for not doing anything.
Wait, Michael or Jason?
No, I'm saying, but like in when where he comes back and kills the final girls later because he comes back to them. It would be like that. As Michael gets so angry, he's like, "How could you not do anything about this? While I was trying to kill these people, I'm going to kill you."
Save me from myself.
Why not? So, I think that's a much more interesting movie than Curve.
We got it. Our production.
I think that is a much more interesting movie than Curve. That's more interesting. A lot of movies, though.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
The production company, Next Door Productions. Like,
yeah.
All we do is turn out movies about what's happening next door during the rest of these horrible, like, you know, they never really go, like, it's like the in the forest where all of a sudden you turn around, there's a huge hotel in front of her. You never get a shot of across the street from Texas Chainsaw Massacre. There's like a whole, like,
there's a McDonald's.
Yeah. Always, like, seeing as people, like, sitting there eating, like...
What the fuck? Well, it may not be a production company, but it's definitely at least a YouTube channel, like making short films about the families that live next door to these.
If it wasn't YouTube and it was actually the early 80s or late 80s, early 90s, it would be like a Naked Gun series.
Mm-hmm. The apartment next door to the family in Child's Play.
Oh, yeah. Or like
the second to the last house on the left.
Have you guys
like, just next door in Poltergeist, other house where nothing's going on.
Yeah, like
I still,
they're like they can't get their. Go ahead, Brian. Sorry.
Like every one of these neighbors is just outside watering their lawn.
The biggest problem in the arc of these stories is they keep arguing because the TV flickers on and off at the wrong time and they're missing, like, you know, Carson or whatever. Like that's the biggest thing until the end when the shit just goes down.
House sucks up into the netherverse.
Oh man, it's just, you know, it's like an episode of the Twilight. It's kind of like one of those almost normal episodes of the Twilight Zone where it's like something's slightly off but not entirely off. Like I almost think even that It Follows has that kind of vibe. Like if you can pull that kind of tone for these movies where it's like something is definitely fucking wrong, but this is just such a, like a naturalistic view or take on a family. Like that's an interesting ass movie to me.
Yeah, the Twilight Zone is the next scary film Jackson and I are gonna watch together.
Oh, cool.
Oh wow, Twilight Zone are you movie. Gonna explain to him how the people actually died when the helicopter fell?
I've already told him that story.
Really?
Yeah.
What'd he say?
He's like, I can't remember what it was, but I said, oh, you know, he asked. I think he asked a year or something ago. Was like, has anybody ever died making a movie? And I told him about the Twilight Zone.
That's so weird. Who was directing that?
John Landis.
It was Landis, wasn't it? Holy shit. He never tells. he's such a name dropper, but he never tells that story.
I don't think that'd be what I'd tell.
Yeah.
His to give a recommendation, Leonard Maltin has a podcast now, and it's fucking amazing. And he does an episode with John Landis where John Landis just name drops Hollywood stars for an hour and talks about Michael Jackson and working on Thriller and all this other shit. It is a phenomenal podcast episode.
A second there, I got confused. I thought you were talking about Roger Ebert. Then I realized his podcast would just be the sound of a jaw hitting a microphone.
Would it?
It also wouldn't sound like anything. He's dead.
Yeah, there's that.
You sure?
Yeah.
Now, I know you didn't believe on Jane Lane, but now I don't believe you on Roger Ebert. So let me.
I also like the idea of Leonard Maltin and John Landis doing an episode of a podcast together and someone not realizing which is which.
Yeah.
They look really similar.
They sound a lot alike, too.
Do they? Mm-hmm. I can't even think of what they sound like.
It's a good podcast. I think, you know, listeners of this would like to. Actually, this past week Doug Benson was on, and the movie that they recommended, like secretly recommended, was Bone Tomahawk. So they were like over the moon about that film. I was like, you know what, whatever, we've seen that kind of thing, we do horror, so
yeah, congratulations.
We're kind of over it. Yeah, you finally got to it, Maltin. Okay, whatever.
I'm glad you like genre films, Maltin.
They didn't like The Hateful Eight so much.
No too much talking.
They didn't dislike the talking. Why are we doing a meta cast? All right, so Curve's not
Did they like Curve?
They liked the women's workout center, but not the movie so much.
Right. It's just a bad movie. Like, it's bad in all the ways a movie can be bad and not be entertaining. Because I like bad entertaining movies, and this is just not—it's not worth watching. It's not worth putting on Netflix. Like, there are so many better movies on Netflix to watch than this.
Worse movies. Either.
Yeah, there are so many better worse movies to watch. I can't think of one off the top of my head, but they're there.
Something was on Netflix, and I was like, "Oh shit!" Something. What was it? I was watching the other night. It was Fuck, I lost.
Like, I'm sure there are even better, like, Hitcher type movies. Like, if you're gonna instead of watching this, go watch The Hitcher. I would even say watch The Hitcher remake, because at least it has Sean Bean in it being fucking brutal. He's brutal in that movie, so I would say watch that. Watch 127 Hours. Anything but this movie, please God, for the love of Jesus Christ Almighty, don't watch this movie.
Yeah, don't waste your time. Maybe try the other Beach Tilt movies we haven't gotten to yet and see if they're better, and let us know.
Yeah. I think,
because it kind of soured me on the other two, even. I'm like,
I don't know that I want to watch those. I bet they're also really boring. Brian, what is your recommendation for this movie?
I would recommend.
What would you recommend instead?
Footloose.
Hmm?
The original Footloose.
Sure. Or even the new Footloose, which is actually underrated. It's much better than this.
I think it got rated PG.
Who's the male lead in that movie?
A guy that I don't know his name.
Oh, it's
he ended up not being anyone.
Derek Huff. Yeah. That's what makes it so interesting.
It's Derek and Julianne Huff. Well, I don't.
Miles Teller is in it.
Kevin Bacon.
Is
Kevin Bacon
it,
again?
Is would it, do they at least in the remake do remakes of all the old songs? Like, do they have a remake of Holding On for a Hero, or Let's Hear It for the Boy, Dancing in the Sheets?
No, Kanye West did the soundtrack to the new one.
Oh, did he?
Mm-hmm.
Is it just him ranting at
screaming, "I'm the greatest"?
At that
you gotta,
rapper.
No, the thing is, it actually is pretty good, because wasn't it the guy who did "Hustle and Flow"? Craig Brewer did it, because he's all about like the new, you know, that new South kind of deal.
Yeah.
Which is why I think the movie kind of worked.
Drew, I have a question. This is a serious question. Would you rather recommend Curve or Dirty Grandpa?
God, that's an awful choice.
Yes,
That's an awful Sophie's choice that you're having to make there.
Choice.
I'd watch Curve, because you watch it at home on your couch and just mute it, because you have to go to the theater to watch that Dirty Grandpa shit.
The whole thing about Sophie's choice is that it is an awful thing to have to do. By saying awful Sophie choice,
Even worse than choosing a child. That's what he's saying. Yeah.
Sophie's choice than kill your child.
Damn, Dirty Grandpa is bad.
Yeah, I read an article about articles about how bad that movie is. Like, that's how bad it's starting to gain its own meta following of how bad it is. That people are writing articles about how bad it is.
a bunch of college girls had come in to watch it together and didn't sit together for some reason, but two of them ended up behind me. And when it was over, she turned around to her other friends that she didn't sit with and apologized to them for recommending it. And then one of them actually said, I kind of liked it. And uh-oh. I immediately wanted to punch her.
They all descended upon her and tore
like, it's a movie that when I saw the preview and then saw that it had like an 18% on Rotten Tomatoes, I thought like, who is the 18% who likes this? Who's getting in under the wire on Rotten Tomatoes?
Donald Trump.
All right. I say no. Let's say no. Yeah, Donald Trump likes this movie. So, I mean, Dirty Grandpa. And probably this movie.
Hey, you know, Julianne Hough. She's hot.
She's on her menses.
I feel like Donald Trump would be a Dirty Grandpa.
He would. He is. He is because he said, if my daughter wasn't my daughter, I'd be fucking her.
Sure. Also, everyone has
noticed she didn't respond. She was like, no.
That doesn't mean I'd return the favor. Let rape you. Also, everyone seems to be forgetting that Donald Trump is a huge joke. Like, he has been all of, like, since I've been in existence, Donald Trump has always been a joke.
Donald Trump has always been
a punchline.
Yeah, Donald Trump has been a punchline since I was a kid. Like, even before I knew who Donald Trump was, like, I could make a joke about Donald Trump. Like, that's how crazy this is. Ugh. I mean, you know, Joseph Smith fucking got caught for being fraudulent before he created an entire religion. So let's hold our expectations low, I guess, for humanity. Yep. Anyway, don't watch Curve.
Don't vote for Trump.
Okay.
Thanks for listening. I'm Brian.
Our political minute. I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
And I let her talk on the outro, too.
Twice.
Women's Rights, 2016. Yep. Oh. I'm all for the 19th Amendment, guys. 20th Amendment. 19th? That's right.
Second.